Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's time once again for your Gitmo Nation audio publication. From the West Coast this time, Gitmo Nation.
This is No Agenda.
All right, well, I should really write down what I'm going to say, I guess. Coming to you from an undisclosed location in San Francisco, California, with the kitchen paper roll microphone stand, I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm here laughing in Northern Silicon Valley over these comments. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
It's really in the morning for me, so it's, you know, I got to wake up. It's tough.
Rolled up paper.
No, it's the you know, I use the lav microphone when I'm on the road, and so I have in this apartment that you know, like a furnished apartment for the month. They have a toilet, well, not a toilet. A paper towel roll. That's what the word I was looking for. Paper towel roll holder. And it's perfect. So I have the lav clipped onto the paper towel roll. It's the perfect height. I'll take a picture. It'll be well worth it. John, to start off, I just want to thank you so much. Last night I asked you for a recommendation for dinner. We are into... Actually... I've started off by saying, well, we really feel like dim sum. And you said, well, are you nuts? You can't have dim sum in the evening. No, that's wrong. That's only for breakfast or lunch. And you were kind enough to send me three options. We chose the Shanghai 1930 restaurant, which is on 133 Stewart Street in here in San Francisco. And boy, let me tell you how the universe was in sync last night. So we walk in, and the manager, lovely girl named Aura Green, of course, she's a, yeah, don't you love it? She's, I think it's actually her full name is Aura Luna Green, to make it even better.
Oh, brother hippie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's from the born on the island, and she lived on, you know, the nudist colony when she was young. And she says, hey, Adam, how you doing? You remember me from Jack Falstaff, which, of course, is the restaurant across the street from the office, which just closed, I guess, a week or two ago. And I said, yeah, well, of course. And so this Shanghai 1930, they have...
By the way, did you recognize her?
No, of course not. But I pulled it off.
Okay.
And I kind of did. I don't know. You know. But anyway, there was a connection. And because, you know, I looked it on, looked up on OpenTable.com. They said they had no reservation. So I called in and said, hey, you know, do you have a table for two in like 15 minutes? Yep, no problem. Come on down. And so she said, oh, it's Adam. You know, great to see you. And they have, I don't know if it's every single night, but they had a quartet with a singer playing live jazz music right there in this relatively small restaurant. We got the center table right in front of the band. I mean, you know, they threw off the reserve ticket. Boom, gone. So, you know, totally, I was totally rocking. The food was outrageous. We had Peking duck. We had some sea bass. Of course, we did have the triple stack dim sum, even though, according to you, it's illegal to have after 4 p.m. But here's the kicker, because, John, you said you've been there a lot, and you said it was in your email, you said it was an outstanding place. So after we were done eating, I went over to Aura and I said, you know, we'd just like to have a quick smoke. We'll go outside. We'll come back. We'll have our coffee. She said, well, don't go outside. Come on down to the basement. Did you know that there's a basement in this place?
Yeah, actually, I've eaten down there.
I don't think so, because it's not a place to eat. It is the Guangxi Lounge, private cigar lounge, humidor, and rare wines and spirits, members only.
No, I've eaten down there, but that wasn't when it was this. They changed it.
And this was like literally 1930s, very gangsterish. You know, all the chairs are modeled after the Maxell commercial. Remember the guy who sits there and he gets blown away by the sound of the Maxell audio tape and his tie flies backwards while he's sitting in front of the speakers?
Mm.
So all of these leather chairs. And there's basically it's us and a group of Indian people. And, you know, so we're like, well, we're not going to sit on the opposite side. So we sit down.
From India?
From India, yeah.
Okay.
Indians. And we sit down. Immediately, they're like, hey, how you guys doing? Boy, you're tall. You're so beautiful. Have a cohiba. Have a cohiba. Like, okay, I'll have one of your contraband. No problem. And these were from the Patel family, which, of course, is a name as common as Smith, probably, in India. But these particular Patels own a lot of hotels, and it was fantastic. You know, they two of them were born in Uganda, in Kampala, where of course I lived for a couple of years. And John, it was the most amazing, amazing night we had. And I want to thank you for, hooking us up. And tonight we're eating at Ozuma?
Yeah,
which is right next door.
That little area is interesting because that's where Boulevard is, and there's a whole bunch of bars and jazz clubs and stuff in that little area.
So we'd love to invite you after our dinner to go down and have some rare wine and or spirits.
That's always a possibility. So, was there anything unique about the food?
It was just really well prepared. It just, here's something that was unique about the restaurant in general. You know, you have the spoons, the white spoons that you scoop up the dim sum with, and the rice. These are actually really porcelain ones because, of course, I dropped one and it shattered into 1,000 pieces.
These are Chinese soup spoons.
Yeah, exactly. But everything is it really well taken care of. Everything's, was just nice. The ambiance was great. And I can't really give you a review other than the Peking duck was amazing. Just amazing. Really, really good.
Well, I was, I cleaned the kitchen sink last night. And,
did you use the disposal?
Also, of course, and cleaned off a couple counters, and I found a pair of slippers that I'd lost, one of the two.
Oh, yes.
And I found it.
I'm so glad we're taking you out tonight, man. I'm hurting
then
for you now.
I finally watched Bruce Willis's Eric told me like a year ago when Bruce Willis Die Hard or Live Hard.
Die Harder? Which one was it? On the moon? On the asteroid?
About the computers.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says, you got to see it. There's like a call out. I bet you it's about you. And I said, I doubt it. But there was a Dvorak reference in the movie that is just like completely like, why is this here kind of thing? Uh-huh. And they're driving along and they got to... Somebody got to get a hold of him. The guy's first name is Dvorak for some reason.
Mm.
And, so I thought that was kind of cute. But the movie overall is absolutely fantastic film.
Really? Oh, good.
Except it has a few. I'm getting a little annoyed by some of these films and the fact that a guy is in a helicopter and somehow a car is flung into the air to blow up the helicopter, and a guy jumps out of the chopper.
Right. Yeah.
And then gets up, brushes himself off. I mean, there's too much of this cartoon stuff going on in the films.
Yeah, I agree. I love it when, they shoot 100 times and miss, and then the hero shoots once and hits him.
Yeah, well, that's
always been that way.
Really lame, yeah. but it's just these guys. It's happened in the James Bond movies now. I mean, they're like Jackie Chan films, like I complained about earlier, and it's like these guys, they're in a this. They don't even have a broken arm. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that was annoying, but the rest of it, the story was pretty good about some maniac. It turns out that I'm starting to like this actor Timothy Oliphant.
I don't know him.
You'll recognize him when you see him once or twice. He plays an evil type of character, but I first ran into him in a movie called The Hitman, which was just a pure fantasy film of some sort that had no real redeeming qualities, except it was really good.
Yeah, a guy alone at home on a Saturday night movie, is that what you're saying?
It's just a good, it's definitely a good guy's movie. It's just basically this guy killing people. I mean, it's just nothing.
Yeah. Have you seen Mall Cop?
No, I've been meaning to. I was going to see it on the plane.
Yeah, I watched it on the plane, and I have to say, laugh out loud, without a doubt. It was really, really funny.
What's the guy's name in the movie?
Kevin.
Bart. The guy's name, the character's name.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Something, I can't remember. Something Paul Bart or something.
Yeah, Malta. Something like that. But it's just, it's funny.
I was in some situation recently in town.
With a mall cop on a Segway?
No, there was some real cop on a Segway, and some guy walking by mumbles the guy's name from the mall cop.
Oh, no, Paul Bart. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's like, funny. Oh, there goes Paul Bart, mall cop. You know, it's just like any policeman who has one of these idiotic Segways, and you see him here and there. I mean, it's just foolish.
Hey, something else happened that was funny yesterday. I'm sorry, Friday. I needed to go to the AT&T store, and Kevin Epps walked in. Remember Kevin Epps?
No, I don't remember.
He's Kevin the guy Epps. That. Well, he's the documentary documentarian, I guess you'd call him. He did Straight Outta Hunter Point. If that rings a bell, he's also done this new documentary called The Black Rock, which is about black inmates on Alcatraz, and we did the Hyphy show with him. When we were still Pod Show. And he walks in and he introduces us to this guy, Mike Farah, who is the senior advisor to Gavin Newsom. And it's like weird stuff in the air, man. Weird stuff.
Well, you're in San Francisco. So while we're on the subject of food, I might as well bring in my food story.
Yeah, please do.
So it appears in there, there's an article in Slate. And it's
fine publication.
It is, actually, and it appears as if lard is back in vogue.
Yes, it is, and I can tell you a story about that as well. But please continue.
Well, anyway, they go on and on in this. People can look it up on Google. You know, Slate plus lard. You know, you probably get a couple of the writers show up on that list.
I had lunch with remember I told you about that place in Amsterdam with the staff is actually first and second year hotel students,
right.
And on the menu it had. I was there with Christina and Dexter, and on the menu it had lardon, a salad, and it had like avocado and lardons. I'm like, I know what a hard-on is, but what's a lardon? And that's essentially little bits of lard.
That is it cooked? Little cooked
yes,
lard, though,
it's
right?
cooked lard, yeah. Kind of almost like bacon bits, I guess.
Yeah, essentially, except without the meat.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're going on and on about this lard. And, you know, it's a monounsaturated fat, turns out to be good for your blood sugar. It has all these, you know, benefits. And, of course, we've always known this to a point. And it's not so much that, you know, lard is, I mean, smart money's always used lard for where it's appropriate to be used. But they talk about leaf lard, and which is the beef kidney fat, which is used for all sorts of things. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. Years and years and years ago, I experimented with making French fries because according to French, if you look at the Gastronomique or any of these things, you want to use beef kidney fat because it has an amazingly high smoke point and a lot of and the specific heat, which is the amount of heat it can hold without, you know, in other words, you drop stuff into the hot fat, it doesn't cool the fat. You have a real problem with a lot of these oils.
Right.
Which is why you get greasy food, that the specific heat is crappy. And so when you drop, you get the temperature to 350 and you drop some French fries in there, the temperature drops to 250 instantly.
Yeah, right.
With this
stuff. Because it sucks it all up, right? It just.
Yeah, because it won't hold heat.
Right.
And so anyway, but this stuff will. And so you could drop it at 350 and the temperature probably drops to 349.
At 349.7, I'm told.
And so the French fries, you know, they absorb the oil. Hmm. Okay, so I went through the process because I was, I was more,
Interested in the chemistry aspect, of course.
It's just a time-consuming process. I got all this beef kidney fat. You had to buy a ton of it. And I had this big deep fat fryer, and it takes about a day to render it. So you put the fat in this thing, and you cook and cook and cook, and then the oil starts coming off.
What do you mean render? I'm only familiar with the term render when it comes to rendering video on Final Cut Pro.
You take the fat and you put it in in the cooker or the heater or whatever, the deep fat fryer, and you basically cook it, and rendering means it's just to bring the oil out of the fat. So you take and you render the fat, so you get rid of, so you end up with a bunch of oil instead of gobs of fat, and then you pull off whatever's left, which is, you know, some kind of a mess.
Hmm.
You get rid of that stuff.
Okay, so you've rendered, and it's like a 10-hour process.
At least. It took forever.
Yeah.
And so now I got this rendered fat, you know, and by the way, and if you turn off the thing, it'll turn to rock because it's, you know, it's lard. It's just like the stuff you buy from the store that says lard
on it. It's like the shit I got in my stomach. Lard.
So anyway, so I cook. People are going to be so disappointed with this story.
Not yeah. that I think about what a wind up.
Maybe I should stop.
You're still ahead. Don't go any further.
So I decided to cook with this stuff. So I tried chicken and I tried French fries, which is supposed to be ideally cooked with this. And I was highly disappointed. I just didn't think it would. I thought it left even though it didn't absorb the fat, it left a little coating and it left it on your mouth when you ate it. Just in other words, this is bull. Get some safflower oil or some
screw
sunflower
the lard.
Oil. Cook with that. Yeah.
Yeah. We made some notes on last week's show. I predicted that the turnout of the voter turnout for the European Parliament elections would be rather low. I said it would be about 28%. I believe, did you say 48%?
I said 39.
You said 39. So it's interesting because you can Google all you want, but they don't know because, of course, they have to put all this stuff together. And the elections are basically a 3-day process. I think today is actually still a day you can vote in some countries. I could be wrong. John, the consensus so far that I've seen is about 38%. So you were very, very, of course, it's shamefully low, but you were very close. So I give you props. Big props.
Well,
oops.
I don't think they would.
There we go.
Think the reason to pick that number is because I figured it was going to be low too. But if it was 28%, like you predicted, they would fake the numbers.
Yeah, to make it
jack
higher.
Jack them up. There was no way that they would allow a number like that to get into the public domain, even if it was 28%. So, hey,
are you downloading something? Are you downloading porn or?
No, I'm not. But I know that the connection is breaking up.
Yeah, it is just a little bit. It's kind of weird. So last night,
are you on? Is that Comcast? By the way, is that a Comcast?
No, I don't know what it is. It's it's crap. I got to get out of this place within a week before Thursday, essentially, because where some people will sell their car because the ashtrays are full. Well, I got to get out of this apartment because the Wi-Fi sucks. This is just no good.
Yeah, you sound like crap. Okay.
Well. Yeah. Thanks. No, actually, on the recording, I'll sound really good.
Yeah, I know you will, but I'll sound like crap.
Yeah, it's okay. So I saw I saw Larry King the other night, and it was this huge conversation, and they kept talking about reality shows and could we see a suicide and well, hold on a second.
And now back to real news.
Apparently, Susan Boyle, the Britain's Got Talent phenomenon, after losing on last week's finale, had to go into a mental health center for exhaustion for about 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, that was in the news here.
And it was just fascinating to see all of these pundits talking about, reality shows and, how far will we go. And I keep saying we have discussed this maybe somewhere around episode 30, even as early as that the ultimate reality show is death penalty. That should be broadcast live. You should do the entire death row thing. You get voted off. Who goes first? So we got five guys on death row, and they have to do like little what's that?
It's the electric chair.
Yeah, right. But it's five guys, and maybe we can do 15 guys. No, 13 guys because we have a 13-week run, and they have to do tasks. Right, and it could be different general knowledge questions, but essentially you get voted off and you get fried. I think it would be a fantastic show, and you watch it will come. Maybe even before the end of this show, the end of this show's run, you will see this happen.
Yeah, I've been hopeful, but
I've been hopeful.
It seems unlikely.
Damn, it's unlikely. I got some medical news. This is quite disturbing. Of course, the pharmaceuticals are so out of control, trying to inject us with everything. And now Nigeria, the country that brought you the Nigerian princess scam, is suing Pfizer. I don't know if you caught this one. They filed charges against the pharmaceutical company Pfizer, accusing it of carrying out improper trials for anti-meningitis drugs in 1996. So here's the deal. In 96, thousands of people were dying from an outbreak of meningitis across northern Nigeria, and thousands more were paralyzed by the disease. It is a horrible disease if not treated properly. So families were urged to take their sick children to Kano's Infectious Diseases Hospital to receive treatment. But the treatment turned out to be a test, a beta test of Trovan, which was Pfizer was testing this new antibiotic, gave it to 200 of the sick children, and 50 of them died, of course, and more developed deformities. Of course, Pfizer denies that, says, oh, it was only 11. Come on, stop exaggerating. And so this is a case that will be very interesting to watch, but it just shows how horrible these drug
They're
companies
cavalier.
Are. Yeah, very, very cavalier. Let me see. There's more. I don't want to do more. There's a whole bunch of vulnerable kids in some of New York's poorest districts are being forced to take part in HIV drug trials, so it's not just happening in Nigeria. But the BBC did a 9-month investigation and found out that in New York City, HIV-positive children, some only as old as a few months, are enrolled in toxic experiments without consent of guardians or relatives.
Huh.
And all of these stories, of course, you can find in the show notes at noagenda.mevo.com. I'm sorry, there's a hairdryer going on here in the background, should you be wondering what that sound is.
Can't hear it. Okay. So let me, since we're on real news, you want to play the jingle again?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, back to real news.
Okay, this is my complaint for the week. I was watching Numbers, the finale, and then I was watching...
I'm not familiar with this. What's Numbers?
Yeah, it's just you don't need to know. Like, it's just another cop drama.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Not that dissimilar from all the rest of them. But, you know, I was watching NCIS and CIS Miami. I think CIS Miami is where this began. But there's this scene that is cropping up over and over and over and over in all these cop dramas, and it is driving me nuts.
Okay.
It's the flashlight scene. These guys, these cops, there's usually four or five of them, they got flashlights, which, by the way, they're holding upside down
like a weapon
in your hand, like a normal with what's in the palm of your hand, your palms up.
Yeah, it's the mag. It's the mag light.
Flashlight. And,
yeah,
right. You could grab it and use it as a club that way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you have the flashlight upside down. In other words, your palm is on top of the flashlight, and you're holding it over your head.
What?
And what? This is what I'm thinking. This is the scene. All these cop dramas do the same thing. Every cop is holding the flashlight in this kind of upside down manner over their head, so it looks a little like the Statue of Liberty. Seriously. And here's the kicker to this. You see, so all these cops come with the flashlights. Every one of these shows has this scene. They go in. First, they clear the place, and then they wander around with flashlights looking for clues. Turn on the friggin' light.
There's yeah, really? There's a light switch.
Turn on the light. Why are you wandering around with these flashlights over your head when there's a light there? Every one of these shows does that over and over and over. And is this adding mystery or suspense? Is this a dramatic moment? Who dreamed up this to begin with?
Oh, that's a good observation, man.
It's beyond me. I can't take it anymore when I see these scenes.
Oh, man. You know, in the 90s, there was a lot of like these hip-hop gangster movies, and the thing that always got me is whenever you see a hip-hop gangster dude with a gun, with a handgun, usually like a Glock or some other type of automatic pistol, they always hold it horizontal.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like you cannot shoot accurately that way. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Not.
You know, you can't shoot accurately. And I'm like, who made that shit up?
I don't know, but I do know this Numbers is done by Tony and Ridley Scott, and they're using this stupid gimmick of having people in a room dark.
Turn on the light.
Turn on the light, you idiots.
That goes right along with the 5-minute DNA analysis. It's right in that
thing, a lot of these things, they have these places are so dimly lit that there's nobody. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily think we could go back to the days of Hawaii 5-0 where the office is actually well lit, like a real office.
With like fluorescent lighting. Da, 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 you
know, it lights the place da, up da, a little da, bit da, instead da. Of this dark, grim place where everybody's in shadows.
Mood lighting and dimmers at CSI. This just came in 2 days ago. You know, I know a reasonable amount about weather, and you know, the most particularly as an airman when flying, you know, you want to stay away from the cumulus nimbus, and this has been in the news recently with Flight 447, and there's a new type of cloud that they they've actually given a name to it, the Asperitus clouds. So let me just read this. This is from the, what is this from? The Daily Mail. Okay, so take it with a grain of asparagus. Whipped into fantastical shapes, and the picture is beautiful. I'll Skype you in a second. These clouds hang over the darkening landscape like the harbingers of a mighty storm, but despite their stunning and frequent appearances, the formations have yet to be officially recognized with a name. They've been seen all over Britain in different forms, from Snowdonia to the Scottish Highlands and other parts of the world, such as New Zealand, but usually break up without producing a storm. Let me Skype. The picture is just outrageously beautiful. And I have not seen these clouds personally, and I do a fair amount of flying. Now, hold on. Why is this not giving me the link? In July, when I go back, I will definitely take a look. I mean, these things are just outrageous. And so I guess they're calling them Asperitus clouds. Look at these things. It's kind of like Independence Day or Doomsday or whatever, where
I actually have a picture of these clouds. I take pictures. I mean, this is, everyone's going to think I'm really nutty now, but I take pictures of clouds like all the time.
Yeah.
For I have a huge collection.
Yeah, you put them next to your collection of train pictures and train whistles.
When I'm yes, when I'm not cleaning the sink, so
or making travel lists.
So yeah, this I once in a while these weird. This is a pretty good one.
So do you think that this is definitely check that out in the show notes. Do you think this might be have something to do with, you know, the changing of polarity of the Earth and all this different type of stuff that's going on? I mean, this seems like a phenomenon that would have something to do with that.
I don't know.
Or is it maybe some kind of wind changes? I mean, it's really, really amazing when you look at these pictures.
Well, I'm baffled by them, too.
Hmm.
You don't see them that often, but they're really pretty when you do. I mean, they're like dynamite.
But is any single...
You've actually seen them. I'm sure you have. You just haven't noticed them, because generally speaking, they're not so dramatically lit as in this particular picture.
Yeah, I'm sure these are graded for...
But if you look at the second picture there, the one that's underneath with the buildings, you've seen that before, that kind of thing.
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, but, well, this is also taken from... That second picture isn't either from a top floor of a building. Yeah, probably top floor of a building. I'll be on the lookout.
That second picture looks a little Photoshopped, too, for some reason. I'm not totally convinced.
But look at the one below it.
Yeah, the one below it, which...
But this could be the first new classification of a cloud type in 50 years. You know, whenever that stuff happens, it's like I remember when Pluto was a planet, and then, of course, I remember when Pluto was no longer a planet. Yeah, that's big stuff.
The one below it looks like another picture of it looks like the same as the one above it.
So
at
how long? How long do you think?
Only taken 2 seconds later.
How long do you think it'll take before this is classified as another result of global warming?
Oh, I'm surprised it's not in the article.
Yeah, actually, it might be.
But the what you're looking at, it seems to me on that one, the dramatic picture is a funnel cloud, because that thing looks like it's
hard to tell. Yeah, it's hard to tell if it's going down or not. It could be. Could be.
One time I was flying into Chicago on some carrier,
and
Lake Michigan keeps tornadoes from coming into Chicago for because of microclimate. And I swear to God, it was in the morning. It was an early flight, and it was really interestingly lit.
I'm sorry, John. When was it?
It was a interestingly lit early in the morning.
Oh, yes.
In the morning. Oh,
so, I needed the excuse. Yeah.
Sorry. So anyway, so I'm looking, and there was like, there must have been 50 funnel clouds. It was beautiful.
I flew underneath a storm front once coming back from Cannes in my own plane with a safety pilot. And we were right underneath this front, about to cross into a controlled zone, so we had to be pretty low. But there were actual little wisps of funnel clouds, maybe only 3 feet long, and it was the most spectacular sight. You see these things just kind of forming, just underneath this storm system. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's a real attractive formation. There was actually one that touched down in the bay once, and I did get a picture of it. It's pretty rare to get funnel clouds around here, but this one was forming in the middle of the bay, and it just was like, you know, it never did anything. I mean, we've had water spouts occasionally, but it's like once every 5 years, or there's a report of when they only last for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Speaking of water and San Francisco, Californians' thirst for water has pushed salmon and other fish to the brink of extinction, according to a federal agency on Thursday, as it directed officials to cut water supplies to cities and farms to save several species.
Oh, yeah? Which ones?
Okay. The state faces a water crisis, third year of the drought, add climate change, of course, and a growth population to the mix. The fate of some salmon. Salmon runs look untenable without change. This is the National Marine Fisheries Service, who has ordered this as a part of a long-running court battle over salmon.
Yeah, salmon is having problems.
I didn't even know we had salmon here. I thought that was like Nova Scotia and Norway and stuff.
No, no, there's a lot of salmon in California, especially the northern part of the state, and also Oregon and Washington, mostly Washington. That's where you get the best salmon.
You know what's handy about this paper towel roll as a mic stand? Is when I need to blow my nose, I have the paper towel right here.
Oh, you actually still have paper towels
on. Oh, yeah, the mic is clipped onto the paper towel itself.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good.
Classy.
North Korea agrees to enter talks with South Korea. God, I've so got to call Uncle Don.
Let's get into this thing. I want to visit North Korea and drink Bordeaux wine with Kim Jong Il. I don't see any reason.
I don't see why we can't do that. Uncle Don should be able to hook that up. I mean, let's be honest.
So here's the reason that this comes up into the conversation. I've been meaning to talk about it.
We did talk about this previously.
No, we talked about it off the air.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the air.
No, I specifically wrote it down that we were going to talk about it because it was something I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, you can honk the horn if you want, but you tell the story
and I'll watch the Twitter.
So the idea is that Kim Jong-il apparently is a Bordeaux collector. And I have to assume, if that's the case, he probably doesn't get to taste with too many people that have, you know, a trained palate or anyone.
He doesn't have a lot of friends hanging out from the West.
Well, he probably does have a lot of friends, but they're probably just yes men.
No one who would just say, hey, dude, Kim Jong, this is corked.
this is corked, man, and you're liking it?
Yeah, you fool. Okay. That's the whole reason why? You think he's just...
No, the whole reason why is because I'll bet you that he's got some extremely desirable Bordeaux in his cellar that he probably needs to have an inventory taken by someone who actually, you know...
Knows what he's doing, yeah.
And I think it would be a... And I also think that he would like... Most wine drinkers, and I can assure you... And by the way, if the guy's a Bordeaux aficionado, he can't be all bad.
He can't be a total jackass, I agree. You know, because you got to have some love in you somewhere if you have appreciation for that stuff.
It seems to me. So anyway, the point is that you need some, you know, most wine drinkers, and because I have a lot of friends that collect extremely expensive bottles, and they don't really have, and they, you know, they don't can't casually open these bottles because you have too much respect for the wine, because it should be shared, because so you can sit around and go, wow, this is good. Yeah, it is good.
Hey, and, let's hit that red button, Kim Jong. This shit's good.
So, so it seems to me that, you know, besides the fact that he's got some lieutenants, I'm sure, that have developed a palate, they could use an outside guy to come in and, you know, to have a few bottles with them. And then I won't only be there for a couple of days. And then, I mean,
you won't overstay your welcome or anything.
I'm not going to stick around. I'm going to get in and get out. You know, I'm fine. Right.
I will call Uncle Don. First, I got to, you know, bring him up to date on my personal situation, which is why I haven't called. You know, it's like one of those calls to the family you just don't really want to make. And, by the way, G.D. Harbin says, have not heard this story yet on the show. Okay, good.
See?
Yeah, you're right. I promise you, I will ask him if it's possible for you to go and have a Bordeaux tasting with Kim Jong-il.
Right.
I promise you. And you know what? You could actually save the world in the process. Imagine, you know, and maybe if I went along, it would be even better, you know, so we'd be blowing on the Bordeaux, say, hey, yo, Kim Jong, dude, you know, just so you know, it's like, this is kind of, you're kind of like freaking people out over in the States and stuff, you know, can you just like ease back on this shit?
I think that, you know, there's also the possibility that he wants to move to Gstaad, Switzerland.
Lots of friends there, I hear.
Just saying.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the point is that I think it would be worthwhile for him and be for me. And I, you know, the only drawback, of course, is that it had to be, you know, completely debriefed every time when I came back from the State Department. It would be grilling me about it. So, so what color was his socks?
Yeah. Did you see any guys that looked just like him? Are you sure it was the real one?
Any duplicates?
Is any clones walking around?
I didn't see much. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to go to Korea, North Korea, is because there was either a Globetrotter show or one of the Rough Travels.
Rough Guide.
And these, they went to North Korea. They had permission, as opposed to these two people who just got arrested. And they were floating around. And it seemed to me as though there was a kind of, the Koreans have kind of a weird and charming sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And they had a lot of footage of these guys, you know, various North Koreans that were just making fun of the camera crew, mostly in some sort of self-mocking manner, like, oh, aren't we dangerous, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, look at us. We're cracking open Bordeaux.
Anyway, so yeah. It'd be fun to go there, I think.
You got any notes?
I got a few things. I mean, there's a good story in the Toronto Sun. I wish I could credit. I forgot who sent this to me. Apparently, the hookers.
Oh, I saw this article. Yes, they're down to from $60 for a BJ to $5.
Yeah, Kerry Lutz, I guess.
Yes, our New York research department. Yeah.
He found the Toronto Sun article. Yeah, well, not $5, but yeah, I guess people are bargaining. It's $60.
It says it right there in the article that the drag queen. Was really drunk. Pissed off. He said, you know, I don't put on makeup and my best dress for $5. And rightly so.
Yeah, well, you know, the Toronto Sun, by the way, is the Canadian equivalent of the Daily Mail.
Is prostitution legal in Canada?
The prostitution's not per se legal, but there's some. It's a gimmick. The way they have the law written, it was explained to me. I used to write for the Vancouver Sun.
Is that like the Sun of the U.K.?
No, the Vancouver Sun was actually the good paper. It was the province, which is the other paper, was the tabloid. Uh-huh. But I think that's changed. But anyway, the editor explained to me the way it works in Canada, and it was like, and it was kind of convoluted. And I wish maybe I could get it on paper so we could put it in the show notes. But apparently, it's not illegal to take money for sex, but it's illegal to
solicit. Maybe.
Well, there's a lot of solicitation that goes on. So that
you're reliably informed.
Well, what can I say? They're all over the place. But it was some crazy twist that made it quasi legal. So there was never any, you know, it wasn't considered, right. You know, yeah, the way it is in the United States, where they'll pick your car up in the United States if you.
Oh, please, you're on Dateline. You get on Dateline if you do that shit. They get hidden camera footage and then they shame you publicly. Listen, go and Google rape Holland, or rape Canada, or rape Australia. It is just a fact that if you allow this and don't make it a big deal, that it lowers all kinds of sexual crime.
Yeah, in Nevada, where it is legal, in all but a couple of counties, the sex crimes is almost zero.
Yeah. That was funny.
I think that's because they want to keep the public fearful and you know, in terrorize the public.
Well, I don't see how that. I mean, it's you really think is that what it's for? It just seems like it's holier than thou crap.
So what if it is? I mean, that's what happens. That's a result, and it's just add two and two. So why don't we, you know, change the law?
I saw a link. I'm looking for it right now. There was a bill that was passed. Hold on, let me find this because this is right along with this story. Shit, I clicked it. I didn't mean to close that one. Of course, this is not very smart of me to now be crunching bandwidth. So we'll find the bill, and I forget which state, but as it's loading, I'll get that for you. Apparently, there was an incident with... hold on. Here we go. Bill banning semen throwing. In Oregon, House Bill 247 is on its way to the governor. It will now be... Yes. Bill 2478... it will now be a sex crime to propel a, quote, dangerous substance at another person. And this follows on an incident of semen throwing.
This is between monkeys, or what's the deal?
Well, let me read it for you. So Salem, Oregon, usually politicians love the sound of their own voices. Shut up, you. But not so when the topic is proposed new. Oh, no, hold on. The bill made its way through two committees, one Senate floor vote, two House floor votes. Here we go. I have to find what the incident was. But essentially, the bill is now being passed that you may not... let me see if we get the exact language. You may not throw with any propelling force semen at another person. So, I mean,
what kind of law is this? What is wrong with these people in Oregon?
It's known as the Bukkake Bill, actually, John. It's, oh, I'm sorry, reference beyond your knowledge of porn?
Never heard of it.
Bukkake? Okay.
Let's get back to the story.
Google this. Bukkake.
No, I'm not Googling anything. It's just, you're disgusting the audience.
I'm not. This is real news. This is a serious bill. Here. The proposed new law nobody wants to talk about, of course, go figure, would make it a second-degree sex abuse crime to propel, quote, a dangerous substance at another person.
How the dangerous substance, is it?
The substance being...
What, somebody going to slip and fall? It could have AIDS.
This is how they do it. Of course, it could be AIDS. The substance being semen or other bodily fluid flung out of sexual desire. So the question is it illegal if you actually throw it with your hand or if it is exuded from your body? You know, when is it the crime? This is crazy.
And how's it going to be? Who's going to enforce this crime?
Okay, here it is. The proposed law.
Police department?
Hello? Here it is. The proposed law follows an incident last June when a man threw his semen on a mother in a Portland area Target store. Her little girl saw it first. Ugh. The man was convicted of assault. And now this crime will fall into the category of sexual assault. The bodily fluid in question was not the same thing as throwing a Coke at somebody. No. My God, what is happening in the world? This is an outrage.
Well, they try to make everything a sex crime nowadays. If you're peeing in the park, it's a sex crime.
Yeah, of course.
Which guys trivializes and marginalizes real sex crimes, which I think is the idea. Oh, so you have every other jerk off around the San Francisco Bay Area is a sex criminal that's on some list that you can look up on the internet, you know, and you can't get work. Which reminds me, I'm talking about not getting work. There was, I unfortunately made a clip and I lost it, I think, but there's a bunch of commercials going on now about how important it is you get all three of your, you know, you gotta get all three of your credit reports because two of them, you know, may be wrong or one of them. I mean, for one thing, it's this argument that you need all three credit reports just to be safe.
Yeah, bull.
Is like, what? You mean to tell me that these things aren't accurate? Any one of them is not accurate. So why are we even using them? But the thing that they're promoting now more than anything, which is a fact, which is that you might not get a job if you have a crappy credit report or score.
What?
Yes. A lot of employers now are checking credit scores, which is like a new phenomenon over the last decade or two. And if your credit score is not up to snuff, they can refuse to hire you.
That's crazy. Hey, I just received a printout from Air France 447, a printout of its altitude and airspeed, and I'm trying to parse this. Wow. So, you know, you've been hearing on the news about these 24 fault reports that the airplane sent out to home base before they lost contact? I got to take some time and parse this, but right away I'm seeing number 34, we have a TCAS fault, which is very important. That's a traffic collision avoidance system, so it could have crashed into something. Wow, I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared for this, but it looks like airspeed got very, very low.
Well, we can do it on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll do it on Thursday, but that's great that there is information coming out about this, because I still believe this is all part of the Boeing-Airbus fight. So now we've had an Airbus. Boeing next, everybody. Stay away from Boeings.
Well, that's pretty hard to do if you go anywhere.
Yeah, well, I know. But, dude, did you see this Leo Laporte thing? Maybe you don't want to talk about it. Did you see this video where he just like...
Yeah, I posted it.
Okay. Where he freaks out at Mike Arrington?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Jesus. No, it's not. I feel really bad. Leo, like, he was pissed off. I've never heard him use the A word or F-U or any of that.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what made it more impactful.
Yeah.
It's on the blog, dvorak.org/blog. Go check it out. I also have some commentary to add to it. By the way, we have all the comments are interesting because there's about 80 of them. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying, you know, they all said just what you said, which is why I never heard that before. It must have been, you know, really bad and this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Everybody loves Leo. It's like,
yeah, it's so out of character.
And everybody loves Leo.
That should be. That's like a South Park show, isn't it? Kind of like from the creators of South Park. Everybody loves Leo.
So, and anyway, but nobody likes Arrington, so I guess it's...
No. No. Hey, you know what we should do?
And that's another one for the Armory.
I think it's time we...
Well, you know, I thought we were going to not use this jingle.
This is not the jingle. This is the one we've used before. I'm sorry. I take it back. If I could, I'll cut it out of the show.
No, it's okay.
It was just like an identifier.
Yeah. No, it's an identifier, but...
I'm sorry. You're right. We've analyzed it. The jingles don't work.
No, the jingles don't work in my, you know, and in fact, I just did a back and forth with our...
With the Jeff Smith. Yeah, I saw
with
that.
With Jeff, and, you know, he's in agreement that the jingle kind of trivializes and...
The importance of what we're doing here.
Right.
Yeah.
And we do have some, I'm going to bring up the list on Thursday, but we do have some new contributors, including some interesting numbers. Good. And but we do need, and we got some new subscribers. We actually had a pretty good week. We do need unfortunately, we have to keep hounding people because
not enough. It's not even anywhere near enough.
Yeah, we don't get the kind of numbers that, you know, a good charity gets, that's for sure.
Right.
And so we need to get some more income from people at dvorak.org/NA or noagendalibrary.com. And if you can subscribe, I'm going to add some new things this week. I've been promising to do this. I'm going to add some subscriptions that are high. People say, I don't like paying $2 a month. I'd rather pay 20. And so I'm thinking, well, okay. So I'm going to add some new options.
New options, good.
Including the long-term knighthood and some other things that people want to...
Now, we have had an ongoing dialogue about our premiums, and I'm very, very serious now. We've talked about flatware, and we've talked about a no-agenda ugly stick, but the HEMA underwear, I believe we can actually pull off, and I can have a shipment sent. I think we should do a limited run, and I can get very, very, very inexpensive embroidery done. And I think we should go. I know you don't want to, but I think we should go for the embroidery, the no agenda on the crotch.
Well, like the one guy who said, you know, there's another good one you put on the crotch, which would be...
Or on the ass. We could do it on the ass.
Well, either one. But I'm just saying, that's kind of funny, which I've seen kind of cartoons about, it's an internet joke. It says 403 forbidden.
Well, on the front, there should be 404 not found. That would be even the...
Yeah, that's good. That's insulting.
Okay, yeah.
So,
I like that.
Anyway, but we have to decide what kind of HEMA underwear, because you seem to like the big giant thing.
They're not big and giant. They have like legs, you know. They look kind of high. If you're a tall guy like myself, you know, kind of breaks up the legs. So maybe we have two. We have one for guys like you, which is kind of essentially the Ron Jeremy black Speedo version.
And, me and Ron Jeremy. Yeah, that's it.
You'll be hanging. And then, we should have the Wilt the Stilt. With legs. We can get both. It's not a problem.
All right. Well, anyway, there seems to be a lot of response to the HEMA underwear.
Yes, people are liking the idea.
But, you know, to be honest about it, they won't regret it because this, like you and I both agree, even
it's
though we
not shit. It's a great premium.
It's a great product. We could probably go into business and make more money than doing this show just selling the damn underwear.
You know, it's funny because you were talking about purchasing Marks and Sparks underwear previous to your HEMA discovery, and I was unpacking my house, which consists of three cases on wheels, and I actually saw that previous to my HEMA underwear purchases, I have Marks and Sparks. So we really are lost souls.
We're not alone in this, by the way, obviously. Otherwise, they wouldn't be making this damned underwear. But the fact of the matter is,
My mom would be so proud.
The HEMA folks have taken up the gauntlet. They're the ones that are doing the good underwear now, and it's only in Holland. Yep. But everybody who's a big worldwide traveler, I'm sure once they find out about it, this is what they're buying. Because you got to buy underwear somewhere.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, by the way, it used to be pennies.
Pennies, yes. I remember even when I was a kid, pennies.
Yeah, you when betcha. I was a kid, my parents, your pennies underwear is the best.
Do you remember Keds? Shoes?
Yeah, I do remember Keds. I think they're still in business.
And wasn't it Kinney's? Wasn't Kinney's the shoe store? And it was so cool. You go to the shoe store and you put your foot in the foot
in
measuring
the X-ray machine and be irradiated.
No. And it would go voot, voot, and it would measure your foot exactly.
Oh,
and then
no, I never had that. We used to have. When I was a kid. We actually had those things that were like X-ray machines. You'd stick your feet in there, and it was like it would give you a shot of you could look down and you could see how the foot looked in the shoe.
Brandon Leedy just Twittered and said, "I think people would be more willing to donate if we knew where the money is going." Well, so right now it's going nowhere. It's just sitting in the PayPal account, but I guess we eat from it. Well, not really directly, but we should.
We haven't taken anything out of the PayPal account yet.
We haven't. But
where's it going? It's paying for the show. We got to do. We got to get some money for this thing.
So maybe we.
There's a bunch of guys that have written in. Not a bunch. There's a couple of 12-year-olds that have been. I don't see you guys need any money.
Oh yeah, right. Thanks.
We should just be working for him for free. Yeah, right, pal.
Exactly. Sure.
Why does PBS need money? Where does the money go?
Yeah.
It goes for equipment. It goes to pay the people that do the shows.
And beautiful offices.
Yeah, they get the offices. We don't have that. We're not going to be putting into it.
Dude, we're using a freaking paper towel roll for mic stands. I mean, do I have to make it any more clear what's happening here? Please.
Dvorak.org/NA. Give us a hand, will you?
Excellent. What else you got on your list, Johnny? I think we should do another 10, 15 minutes. We're trying to keep these shows moving.
I got to go back to the list. Why don't you pull yours up?
I'll leave that one alone. let me see.
Hey.
I think I got most of the good stuff. There may be, let me go to my backup list here.
Okay, let me tell you the story.
Okay.
So last time we did the show, we did a bunch of squirrels material, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I left two or three of the squirrel stories out.
That was two shows ago.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing that happened after the squirrel stories, which were all provided by my wife, incidentally. I swear to God, this is true. So the day after we did the squirrel show, she's driving my daughter to school, and she's going down the road at high speeds, and a squirrel, this is a true story, jumps onto the road and starts to zigzag across in front of her, back and forth, left and right, to the point where she can't really avoid the squirrel. She figures she can straddle the squirrel.
Straddle the squirrel, everybody.
And as she does, the squirrel makes a hard right turn and
fool.
She crushes the squirrel with her right front tire. A mile later, the tire blows up.
No way.
She goes off the side of the road. She causes my daughter to miss half the day, and it just becomes a fiasco.
Wait, she actually drove off the road?
Well, the tire blew up.
But she didn't, skid off. She just pulled over to the side.
Yeah, she was in a spin or anything. But anyway, it ruined the day because it was like this fiasco to get a tire, because it wasn't like a tire you could repair. It actually blew up. And it was just so we're not doing any more. I'm figuring there's some karma involved with squirrels that we're not doing any more squirrel stories.
Well, exactly. That just goes to show.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know when the evil squirrel will strike. Job hunting in a recession is a tough assignment. With almost 1 in 10 people out of work in the U.S., it takes more than a spruced-up CV, a tidy haircut, or a smart new suit to stand out from the crowd these days. But luckily, doctors in the U.S., according to the fine British publication The Telegraph, have found a new way to give the unemployed a leg up with a so-called Botox bailout, offering thousands of dollars worth of free Botox injections, liposuctions, and other cosmetic procedures to ensure they look their very best and perhaps a little more youthful at interviews.
They all look like Nancy Pelosi.
Can you get a boob job with that as well? I mean, that'll get you a job. If you want to fix something, do that. Let's be honest.
Well, definitely would be, get your attention.
So more than 1,200 people have responded to Dr. Shapiro's offer, writing to say they deserve the treatment. And he selected 50. Talk about a premium. He selected 50 individuals who will each receive up to $3,000 worth of cosmetic procedures. Hmm. And as he said, it was hard not to cry while reading some of the stories. And even though that I'm not an emotional man. No, no kidding.
By the way, when anybody sends us something to discuss on the show, please put the words, the words no agenda in the subject line so it's easier and easy to find the things that we want to bring them up later.
And then one last bit of total real news.
And now, back to real news.
We lost a very, very fine actor from my youth. Not many people remember him. He was, of course, the Kung Fu dude. David Carradine apparently suicided himself in a hotel room in Thailand by hanging.
Yeah, it's questionable whether it was suicide. Well, they're investigating.
Duh.
But I was listening to one of the local talk show guys, and he was aghast at the New York Post's headline.
Oh, wait a minute! what? This New York Post, well known for headless body found in topless bar. Yes,
right. Which, by the way, I had a copy of that.
You have that one? Oh, it's famous. Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, and it was the headline, which is distasteful. Hung Fu.
Oh, my God. Those guys have no freaking shame, do they?
Kung Fu. So, anyway, I was aghast myself, although I ended up having to, of course, because it is, there's something funny about it. And I'm sure Carradine would approve.
Yeah, well, there's all this talk of maybe it was a sex thing, kind of like Michael Hutchins from In Excess, where, hanging himself for auto asphyxiation at orgasm, which I really got to try that sometime.
You got to keep the show going.
It's on the list. It's on the list somewhere.
Do it later.
So if you find me hanging one day, I didn't really do it myself. World Health Organization's pandemic alert scale. Geneva says within days they might declare level 6 for the first time in their history.
For what?
Yeah, for the flu. Swine flu.
Give up on it? Why don't they just pack it in and say they were wrong?
They can't, apparently. They just can't admit it. And it's like these guys' jobs depend on it. Oh, crap. Now we have to finish it.
Global warming.
So it's North America, Australia, and Chile. 21,940 cases, 125 deaths. Dude, that's less than normal flu. And that's the pandemic? They can't give up because they've got to support all these deals with the pharmaceuticals for all of these stupid inoculations, for the vaccinations.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week, or last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do 3 shots a year.
Jesus,
now.
You're kidding me.
No, it was like an article, 3 shots a year. They're going to advocate 3 flu shots. What do you need 3 flu? You only need 1 during the flu season.
Well, the question is advocate or mandate. That's the question.
They would in the U.S., they have a lot of trouble getting a mandated flu shot because there's just not that's just not going to happen.
It's unconstitutional.
Especially after that fiasco with the swine flu sometime, I think it was back in the 70s, where they had the swine flu is going to kill
76,
everybody.
I think it
was. And the shots killed more people than the flu did.
Yep. 76, I believe, John.
In fact, I was working in an enforcement agency at the time.
Wait, whoa. Which enforcement agency were you working at?
Air Pollution Control District.
Okay, hello, I'm Agent Dvorak, Air Pollution Control Enforcement
Agency.
I was an
air pollution inspector.
Did you have APE on your jacket? Air Pollution Enforcement?
That should have. Now, nowadays, they would do that.
APE.
Everybody's got to have their own jacket.
With an emblem and a nice little ID tag. Cool. Duh. All right, let's do one more. I'm sure you got something on your list to wrap this up.
No, you do. I don't.
I think I'm toasted, man. I think that's it.
Live Free or Die Hard. That's the name of the movie.
Ah. I do have the official, and this is posted on the drop, which is No Agenda Drop. Was it No Agenda Chat? Oh, crap. I don't remember what it is. I think it's noagendachat.com. John C. Dvorak's travel list. Someone's actually published your travel list, John. Would you like to hear it?
I don't. It's never been published.
Well, it is now. There's a published list.
Well,
ready?
It's not my list.
Are you ready?
Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay, it's these items must be done and checked off before before going out on a trip. 1, wake up. 2, scratch. 3, fart. 4, pee. Eat and then take meds. Things to turn off: Wi-Fi, wife, shut down the meth lab, things to put out: trash, wife, bills, cigar, things to walk, wife, neighbor, kids, things to feed, me, and things to do, make new list. Yes.
Yeah, okay, cute.
Yeah, it is cute. There's a bunch of stuff I'm working on for Thursday regarding Madoff. Of course, sentencing coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. Your theory is he's not going to get sentenced. He's going to be put into an international tribunal, and yeah, I don't see that happening.
The IFC, the International Financial Court, I believe that is what they're going to have to announce, because they have no way to know how can you sentence the guy if there was no trial. You know, they don't know exactly what he did, where the money went. So keeping my eye on that. There was something else that I was working on. I've been working a lot, you know, for this show that we shouldn't get paid for.
Let's see, I haven't got too much. I think I'm forgetting something.
Check your list.
I'm looking at the list. It just says to walk the dog, walk my wife and the kids.
And turn off the Wi-Fi and your wife.
Of Merck Index is coming my way.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Oh, well, really? Yeah. I saw that email.
Jackie was the one.
She did resign. That's right. That was spectacular. And this is all the Telegraph, by the way. They're the ones that blew that wide open, and I give them props. You know, that's some. It's minor in the grand scheme of how evil governments can be, but it really was very effective, because this really, really woke the public up, you know, and I was in the UK for about a day, and just everyone was talking about it, and they're just like, you know, they're really outraged. So there's a story here, gold panic inside the Oval Office, and apparently the Germans are demanding that gold bullion held in U.S. custodial accounts be returned to their owners, with physical gold being shipped back to Germany. So this, of course, has to do with the false price of gold, which, you know, when you buy gold on the open markets, you don't actually buy the gold. You buy a computer entry in a spreadsheet that says, okay, here's some gold.
That's not necessarily true. You bought gold and you have a real gold.
Yeah, no, but that's different from, you know, when you call your broker and say buy gold, he's not actually buying the physical gold. In 9 out of 10 cases, if you call Midas Resources Inc., yeah, you're going to get the real gold. But I think that's very interesting, because this does kind of show that. I mean, it's, you know, I have that $50 coin that I carry around, and this kind of shows you how skewed it is. It's a U.S. Mint $50 gold coin, and it says right on there 1.0 troy. I guess it's troy ounce.
I guess.
Yeah, of fine gold. Now, if you go look at the markets, what is that, $800, $900 today, somewhere in
about
that region?
$900, $850, yeah. Something.
Right. But if you went to spend it, if someone would accept it and you spent it in the store, it would technically be worth $50. That kind of shows you the disparity. And one other thing I wanted to mention, I don't think I got to it last week, and it would have been better to say it, you know, last Thursday. The whisper number in the oil industry is $75, and of course we're well on our way to that right now. We're about 70, but that's the whisper number. So that's the manipulation number you should be looking out for.
Well, you know, Horowitz and I have always been following this oil BS since the get-go, and including having an interview with Michael Greenberger, who was the guy who blew the lid off of the overseas fake transactions that ran the oil price up before.
Right.
And, Horowitz, we're going to actually have another interview with the guy shortly.
Interviews on the show? That's cool. I didn't know that.
No, on Horowitz's show.
Oh, okay.
He has his own show, and I come on it once in a while, and he does interviews. And I don't think knows what's going on. I don't think anybody... No, you okay?
I'm sorry. I thought the mic had closed, but it didn't. I'm sorry.
I just sneezed.
No, I was blowing my nose really hard and quickly, so I was... Anyways, sorry.
We need a button. But anyway, yeah. So which costs money. We don't have enough money.
No money. Remember, paper towel mic stand.
So anyway, we're going to have another discussion with him, but I don't think he knows what's going on. This is just some sort. This is going to, no one's going to figure this out before it goes and crashes back down to $40 a barrel. But
yep.
Right now it's, I don't know what, you know, I mean, I would like to kind of, you can't figure it out. You just have to watch it. I mean, yeah. You're not,
it's
part of it.
It's manipulated. No, the markets are not real. It doesn't feel real. You know what? If it doesn't taste like it, doesn't feel like it, doesn't smell like it, it probably isn't it.
And it's not.
Yeah. So tonight, we'll be eating at Ozuma in lovely downtown San Francisco. That's Soma, is it not?
I don't know that that's technically Soma.
Well, it's below market, south of market, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So we'll review that. Yeah, I'm sure you've eaten there before.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Mickey's choice. She's taking us out for dinner.
Yeah, okay.
We'll step back for the enthusiasm.
I have to fight traffic.
Oh, poor man. Has to fight traffic.
Which is a good thing. Coming, we have traffic.
Yeah, luckily we've got some traffic. Coming to you from an undisclosed location in Nob Hill, San Francisco, Gitmo Nation West. I'm Adam Curry.
From Northern Silicon Valley, East Bay Edition, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again on Thursday right here on No Agenda.